Hello everyone, welcome to Disruption Works Chit Chat, talking about chatbots, voice development, and how technology can help overcome challenges and be deployed in your organization.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of Disruption Works Chit Chat with Sean and Steve. I hope everyone's well, and if you're listening to this week, then hope you're looking forward to Easter. As ever, I'm joined by Steve. How are you doing, Steve?
Yeah, I'm all right, actually. Yeah, managed to get out and about this weekend. Really good weather. Yeah, did a mountain this weekend in Wales, so that was quite nice. So, yeah, it was absolutely sparkling. And we got snowed on, so we got both. We got all weathers. It was all the weathers in one day. It was really good.
Fair enough. I'm glad you don't invite me to these things, to be honest. And have you got much planned for Easter weekend?
No, just a kind of bit of family and stuff. So, you know, that's the normal stuff.
The
really.
Usual jazz, yeah. Okay, fair dues. Okay, well, this week, Steve, I wanted to talk about chatbots and also how we understand, how we draw, how we perceive the value that a chatbot delivers. Now, for me... Right. There are analytics that we can draw upon within the platform, which gives us a kind of, very factual view of what's going on.
Yeah.
And the question is really going to be around how do we translate that into ROI? There are tangible and intangible benefits. How do they work? So, yeah, if you want to kick us off, Steve, I guess the questions are what are the facts? What are the things that we definitely know are happening?
Well, the big reason that people are using chatbots or voice bots, actually, you know, the principles are usually the same from a value perspective, is that they're getting a lot of inquiries they can't deal with. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to ease those volumes or deal with as much of those as we can in an efficient and effective manner. Yeah. So that kind of makes sense. That's okay. But to put a price on those or to get some sort of cost-based ROI on those, we know that the average cost per minute for an inquiry, so per minute for somebody to respond, whatever medium they're on. So if it's a, well, actually, this is pretty much an efficient call center cost. So this is a really on the button efficient call center. You're talking about at least £1 a minute. So that's the average cost of an inquiry. And each inquiry, well, you know, each business is slightly different. But if you're talking about an average inquiry, it takes at least 5 minutes to deal with. Sometimes longer if it's a bit more involved, you have to go and get information. But, you know, say we're taking 5 minutes from that particular inquiry, then that's kind of £5. So... £4 to £5 for an inquiry is pretty significant.
So that's what we're, I guess that's what we're measuring against.
Yeah.
If we're to assume, of course, that the business wants to deal with their inquiries, and why wouldn't they? Because that would just be a poor customer experience. So what are the analytics that we can pull from a chatbot to understand what's going on?
Well, we know how many conversations have been had and how many conversations the chatbot's dealt with. So if you've had 1,000 conversations dealt with over a month, you know, you can literally divide the cost of that against against the cost of the chatbot service itself. And typically, you know, we're getting down to really low numbers. So probably one of the best ones is Sketch from a restaurant perspective. We're now talking about 2.6p per conversation dealt with. As against £5, which would be the normal cost within the business. You know, so even if they're really efficient and they're all over it and it's a very simple inquiry, there is still an overhead that you can't get beyond.
Let's get to the crux of the answer. So we can see how many people have spoke with the chatbot.
Yeah.
We can see essentially how many messages, how long those people have engaged with the chatbot for. Now, that's not to say that the conversation with the chatbot was quicker than a call.
Yeah.
We can see the times of day as well, can't we? So, again, that just either you could get peaks where you are open, but people can't get through. You can also get peaks when you're not open. And then that obviously points towards the fact that you're delivering a 24/7 customer service experience through the bot as well.
Well, I think most businesses understand that they have a couple of areas where it's busy. And usually it's around early afternoon that it's usually an inquiry, but people are picking up just after lunch, just before they get themselves back into work or something like that, or they've got a bit of space. They tend to be a busy time, but also that early evening slot, you know, an early evening meaning 8, 9, 9 o'clock kind of slot, and they tend to be peaks. And it's usually the 8, 9 o'clock slots that aren't necessarily manned. You know, those are the times when you haven't got somebody there to answer any queries at all. So you're leaving a lot of messages, or they're just not getting anything at all. You know, and that is the bit that's probably the crucial customer service space, so they can get their quick answer to something they may need before you could respond tomorrow. You know.
Okay. So I mean. So some of the tangible benefits, if you like, then, is where we're talking about the fact that the chatbot has dealt with X number of inquiries or X number of users or customers a month compared to you having to provide a human to deal with those inquiries.
Now, you're not always, look, we're not every inquiry that we get through a chatbot is going to have surfaced to a phone call or an email or something like that. You know, some of those inquiries are going to be because they couldn't find your stuff on your website and it was too deep and they want to answer those questions. So it's not all directly related, but the proportion is so huge that you then go, okay, well, we know that we would have got X amount of actual inquiries, and these are the conversations that are the ones that would have come through to us as calls. You know, so you can engage them within the chat, but which calls are having or which inquiries or what the context of those inquiries are, and then those are directly related, you know, so those are easy to pick out.
So that's one element where we're talking about saving staff time. Mm-hmm. Something we've touched on previous podcasts is removing barriers to sale. Mm. So I guess very difficult to put a number on that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a much more intangible benefit. But of course, again, if we look at our client data, we're seeing that there's a reduction in calls coming in, which is obviously what we're trying to achieve here, but it's against the background of increased sales. And that's actually, you know, these are true markers of how effective this little piece of automation is in. And this is directly related to when the chatbot's been deployed. So that means then that you can actually see that they're improving conversion rates as well. And, you know, we have talked about this before. If you consider you just need to ask that question. Oh, do you do this before I book something? Do you do this? Can I bring my dog along, or can I do a do I have to wear any special clothes for some event, or you know, can my children come? Those simple questions that are not readily identifiable on the site immediately, they might be just a bit deeper than you would like them to be, and then they go through the booking journey or the ordering journey or they buy something because of that, you know. And that's an intangible thing, but it is there.
But you're saying it's intangible. I think there are ways that clients could make that tangible.
Yeah,
because, and there's two ways that I see it. The number one is that if we're assuming this is a restaurant conversation, or even if it was retail, that you could integrate into your system so that you could complete the end-to-end journey through the bot. And then you know specifically, right, the bot has done 50 bookings today. Yeah. So that was fantastic. Or if you're doing URL links out to pages on the website, whether it's the booking widget or to buy those trainers or glasses or whatever it might be, that you can actually use UTM tags within those URLs to help pull through your analytics then to say, well, actually, I had 100 hits on this page for these shoes, but 80 of them came from the chatbot.
Yeah, that's true. And it's one of those things that if you are quite active in your Google Analytics, you can surface quite a lot of that from the medium that you're getting your links in from, because it does become a referrer. So that then is a known URL that you refer in from the chatbot, and becomes a useful source of that signposting that we were talking about in other podcasts. Making sure that people get to the point of what they're after, not getting lost in your website. There's so much content on websites now, it's just nuts, and I think that, yeah, that becomes very tangible in that regard if you're integrated, or you've got very firm signposting to specific areas.
Something that another, I guess, intangible benefit that's difficult to measure is the downstream benefits. So what first of all, Steve, what do you think are some of the downstream benefits of having a chatbot?
Well, of course, what we're trying to do is help people deal with calls and stuff like that. So there's a downstream benefit with if your people have got just that little bit more capacity to do a call, and they have they can then deal with that better. There's either two outcomes of that. One, you might actually convert them into a sale if that was the reason for the call, but you might also then have more time to deal with them and give them a better customer service experience. And that will be a massive benefit because, the whole experience is improved. They can get through when they want to, but they can they'll get the benefits of more time from your staff's perspective.
An interesting point you make there, because when I think about, you're a business owner, you think about it from the business perspective, I'm thinking about it from the customer's perspective, and I'm thinking, I went on the chatbot, got the answer I needed really quickly. That was a good customer experience for me. I like that brand. They were easy to deal with. But you're thinking, actually, even those people that didn't use the chatbot were able to call in, and they got through because we were dealing with a load of people over here instantly on the chatbot.
Yeah.
So the phone lines were actually free. So even though the person didn't use the chatbot, they called in, they got through. They had the human experience that you want to deliver as a business, but don't always have capacity to do it.
Yeah.
So your person on the phone had a really good experience.
Yeah. And that was inadvertently due to the chatbot in there.
Yeah. And I guess the another little thing to tag on here is the person on the phone was dealing with a sort of complex inquiry. Let's say that they thought, fair enough, that guy just rang in about this. I'm not answering the phone to tell people about bringing their dogs 50 times a day.
That's right. And with the people we talk to, that those are the conversations they're having multiple times a day. It's always the same questions, it's always the same answers, and those are the things that, we've now seen a reduction in, because they're getting signposting the right way, they're getting the answer, which is just a little answer. It doesn't take all that long. But it just takes time. And the problem is that when we tell you how long an inquiry takes to deal with, it's not just the fact that you have that inquiry come in, it's the disruption of that inquiry. So if the phone goes, you have to drop what you're doing. So whatever you were currently working on, you've got to drop, or you don't answer the phone. Well, that's bad anyway. But then if you're picking the phone up, you've got to deal with the inquiry, and it might only be a couple of minutes. But then you've got to pick back up where you left off on the job that you were doing. And the interruption is actually worth more time around that call than the call time itself, because it's disrupted your flow of whatever you were doing. You might be sorting rotors out. You might be sorting something else out that you didn't want to be disturbed on, and now you go, oh, where was I? What was I doing? And somebody just found up, can I bring my dog? And not that it's a complicated thing, it wasn't very lengthy, but it was still something you have to deal with, and it was still something that was disrupting your day. So there's all that kind of elements of how much a call actually costs in the background as well.
We're talking about calls there, but I think that emails are even more disruptive, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
particularly
no, that's
those
right.
ones where people email in and you haven't got all the information.
Yeah, we do that a lot as well. That's part of the big design of the chatbots that we, you know, as you know, that we try and gather all the information so that the whatever task is required can just be done, and you can just go back to the customer and go, it's done. You know, so there's no toing and froing. But I think we were talking about the time it takes to craft an email. You know, just to make sure you just, you, because you might type something out and go, yeah, of course you can bring your dog, and you just go, oh, that sounds very sarcastic. It's written down, it looks, you know, it looks, so you just go, oh, I need to rewrite that. You know, I've sounded really stroppy about it, or I've, you know, I've answered the question, but the phrasing isn't quite right. So you do it again, and you just get it right, you know, because you, it, but it all takes time. Or, like you said, you go backwards and forwards again, oh, you'll have to tell me what size dog it is, or, you know, is it a guide dog? We do allow guide dog, you know, or whatever those things are. The to and fro takes ages to do, you know, that's a long, long time.
Even with templates, I still think it takes a while. You proofread and have got the name spelled right, all that kind of bits and bobs, like you say. So I mean, it's an average, because some will be quick.
Yeah.
Some will be quicker than others. But again, I also think when people call in, even if they've got a question about the dog, then all of a sudden they start to ask another question, which they could have just found that really, really easy on the website, but they've got you on the phone now. So now it's become a conversation.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, the dog, it isn't just, can you bring dogs? Yes, you can. Okay, thanks, bye. You know, nobody has that call, do they? You know, it's all very rare. They just go, okay, oh, that's good. Well, we are coming tomorrow night. And yeah, what time is the table booked again? Can I just confirm the table time? You know, and that's the kind of conversation you do actually have, isn't it? You know,
Or you have all that, because people do like to waffle on a little bit. So you get some of that up front. Oh, hi, just I've got a table booked for two people tomorrow, but it's actually outside, and all you get all that drama.
Yeah,
and then before you actually get to the question about, can I bring my dog? Yes or no?
Okay.
So there's lots of things that what we're saying is from a chatbot perspective that you can see that are obvious. So when you go back to your CFO, you go, okay, well, the chatbot dealt with X and that saved us dealing with X. But there's all the other, there's all those other bits, isn't there, to consider.
Yeah.
And that's all part of the picture of having a chatbot, or like say a voice bot.
Yeah, that's right. And it's because the value is that you have to consider the whole picture, you know, and there is a tremendous amount of value in having it there as an always on service. It's always there to answer those questions that are simple, and you'll get loads of questions that are very, very simple and repetitive, and all businesses and organizations have them. So it's mad that you're getting a human to be that robot and you know, answer those questions and use all the time and effort that takes that, and the irritation from a customer that they can't do it at half eight because you're not open to answer the questions.
Just a final thing as well, Steve, is that what we very typically see as well is that the customer's behavior changes over time. That once you deploy a chatbot, it doesn't just hit its peak and plateau.
No.
There always seems to be an upward trend.
Mm-hmm. And also around events as well. So if you've got launches and you've got PR stuff going out and you have these kind of moments in the paper, or you've got a review somewhere or something like that, then we see massive peaks on there, usually because people have gone, oh, I want to do that. And then you've got this peak you can deal with, because the chatbot doesn't matter how many questions it gets, you know, it can deal with 10 at a time or 1,000 at a time. But the point is you need to be able to manage those, and you can't do that in a human environment, because you can't all of a sudden have 50 staff answering the phone, you know, because you only have five, you know, and that's it. So you've got nothing else to do, you know. So there's no option to scale those things. And
I've seen at least two scenarios within our chatbots and for our clients where an influencer's gone to their location, posted about, oh, I'm at such and such Nirvana Spa, or I'm at Sketch. And that has just sent the traffic absolutely bananas wild in one day. And like you say, it's easy for them to just go on and have a conversation with the chatbot and find out more about what that business is all about.
Yeah.
It's not so easy to just suddenly take three times the number of phone calls that you would normally take in a day, because you would not you wouldn't staff for that.
No, and the expectation, an email as well, and all the other channels, social, the lot, you know, because, you know, they're going to be Facebook messaging, they're going to be doing whatever they want to do, and that's the same principle. All that massive uplift in traffic is just nuts to have to deal with, you know, and a chat can deal with all that and answer their questions, you know.
And I guess the point of those influencers is, you know, sometimes if they're employed by a business to do a little thing, then that's one thing. But sometimes they do just turn up on the fly. And then if you do get suddenly three times the number of inquiries, then you, potentially, if you weren't able to get to them, then it's just a loss of business, or, you know, you're not able to maximize the profits on them.
Massively huge opportunity lost, you know, just to know how to engage with that business, or, you know, if they can just deal with it and it's done, and you just go, yeah, I can, you know, chatbot's answering all the questions, la la la, and it just works, then you won't know all the, you know, the paddling that's going on underneath the service. It all looks serene from the top, you know, and that's perfect, because that's exactly what you want to happen, you know, and that will then convert into business. So your opportunity is made, and that, you know, and that's probably justified the chatbot cost for the whole blooming year, you know, just that single event, which is really important to again understand.
Okay, yeah, well, you know, brand, I always say brand loyalty and brand brownie points are difficult to come by, but they're very easily lost.
God, good grief, are they? Yeah, absolutely.
And I think particularly along you know, the younger audience members, Gen Zs, millennials, etc., the patience threshold for brand disappointment is very, very low.
No, I mean, there's a lot of conversation about instant gratification and stuff like that. And I think that also comes through the customer service journey. There's an instant gratification element to that needs to happen. And, you know, you've got to be geared for it. You've got to be geared for it. And if you're not, you will lose out quite sharply. You know, even I've got less tolerance now of you know, having to wait for customer service, you know, and going, what, really, I've got to do this? You know, I don't know what I was doing the other day. I was trying to book a, it's like holidays, all book your holidays time, and it, you know, and I was trying to book something, and the requirement from this business, and I'm not going to name them, was to fill out a form on their website, and a agent will get back to you and discuss what holidays they have available.
You know, what? Yeah.
You what? What, you can't, I can't just book the thing. You know, you can't give me some options. You can't give me something to shop for. I had to download a form, fill it out, send it back to them, and then an agent be in touch.
See, for me, like, I immediately think that's not worth it, because I'm going to do all that work, and I might not even be guaranteed
anything,
to have anything out of it,
or any you know, decent price on it or anything like that. It's just nuts, absolutely crazy. But it was the only way of engaging with them. So, you know,
good luck,
you just go, yeah. So it's unlikely that'll happen. Anyway,
keep us posted on that. Good stuff. All right. Well, we'll draw a line under it there. Thanks for your time as ever, Steve. And
no worries.
As I always mention, if anyone's got anything that they'd like us to discuss from an automation perspective, chatbots, voice bots, anything you like, let us know either in the comments on the LinkedIn post, or just drop us an email, or get in touch. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, so thanks everyone for joining us on the Disruption Works podcast. If you'd like to find any of the previous episodes or series, then just search Disruption Works Chit Chat on your favourite podcast platform. Next week, we'll be talking about chatbots, voice development, and everything in between. So I hope you can join us then.